Hi.
Welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Welcome.
I'm your host, Megan.
I'm Hannah.
And, dude, I have just a bonkers story for you today.
You do?
I do.
I'm excited.
Okay. Let's just jump in because I can't get this one out of my head and I gotta tell it.
Ooh, I love those.
Okay, so April Kaufman was described as a vivacious 47-year-old.
Vivacious.
Ooh, I love that word.
Fancy.
Many people knew her from the radio as a popular and provocative talk show host who advocated for veterans.
I like that.
Yeah. April had a big personality and made a lasting impression on people. She also had a way of making you feel like you were best friends right when you met her. When she was a child, things were a bit rough for her family. When April was 11 years old, her mother put her brothers and sister up for adoption.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it didn't say why.
So it's not even right away. It's like...
No, years later.
That's sad.
Yeah. April ended up being raised by her grandparents, but her other siblings were put in foster care.
Oh, no.
At age 17, she became a mom and was forced to grow up fast, and that's exactly what she did. She became a local businesswoman in the catering and salon industry. April was a recipient of a governor's award for her community service work, and this happened a few days before she died.
Oh, that's even worse, man. This is so sad.
I know, because she sounds like so great and did so much for her community.
Well, I mean, this is the instance that it's actually good. Because usually a pillar in the community isn't the greatest thing.
True. No, nothing like that. April's husband, Dr. Jim Kaufman, was 68 years old and a prominent Southern New Jersey endocrinologist.
Oh, what?
A doctor.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. He ran an Egg Harbor Township medical practice, and the couple got married on Valentine's Day in 2003, and April had her daughter, Kimberly Pack, from a previous relationship. Both April and Jim were well-known around town individually, and they ended up being like a classic power couple. Jim had Purple Hearts and Sharpshooter medals that he received for being in the Vietnam War. When Kim found out about this, she asked if her new stepdad could be the subject of her college project.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so he said she could interview him, but there was going to be a couple conditions. He was like, okay, rule number one, never ask my mom about anything that's pertaining to the war. I don't want you talking to her about it.
Aww.
And rule number two, the tape needs to be destroyed when you're finished with it.
What? Okay.
Yeah. And Kim thought this was kind of odd, but she was like, hey, out of respect, that's fine. I'll do what he asks. He told her about how the Viet Cong ambushed his camp and stabbed him and his comrades. Everyone was left for dead, and Jim decided that his sole mission was going to be to stay alive and grab all of their dog tags and get them back to their families.
That's really cool. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah. I honestly can't even let you keep going on with this. Like, he's going to end up sucking. Oh. I just want to tell you.
Well, all right. Well, that is cool, though.
Okay.
Like, that's at least something good about him then. Because, like, I do appreciate, you know, him at least letting the families have that.
And April...
Wait, does he give it to the families? Or does he keep them?
Oh, boy. You're not gonna like it.
Aw, damn it! All right, so, I'm running.
April felt that veterans should be treated like rock stars, which, yes, girl, totally agree. And she fought for them on her radio show and did tons of volunteer work. The stories about Jim may have been what she was kind of attracted to.
Right.
They loved to play hard, ride motorcycles, and, you know, fell into a normal routine together. Every morning, Jim would head to his office before sunrise, and he would call April at 8:30 a.m. On May 10th, 2012, Jim called April as he always did, but this time was different. The call went unanswered. He attempted to call several more times, but April never answered. Jim asked his handyman if he could run by the house and just check on his wife. The handyman found April shot dead in her bedroom in Linwood, New Jersey. She was face down and had multiple gunshot wounds. The handyman called Jim and told him what he found. Then he called the police. Jim also called the police from his office. Then Jim made another call to April's daughter, and she answers the phone, and Jim says, "Kimberly!" And then he just kept repeating the same thing over and over. "Mom's dead. Mom's dead."
Oh my God. That is horrid.
Well, Kim felt that her stepfather was involved somehow in her mother's murder. She pulled up to the house, and there were news choppers flying above. It was a media frenzy as people were realizing that the victim in this case was the popular radio personality.
God, I hate that.
Right. Days after the murder, rumors were flying around town, and people were saying that April had been cheating on her husband. Kim says, yes, there may have been some cheating on both sides. And it was something that she knew about, and she gave the names of the people to the police.
Okay.
Now, Jim was not a suspect at the beginning of the case, but he lawyered up within days of the murder.
That's suspicious.
And he didn't just get a lawyer. He got the lawyer. Ed Jacobs is a huge lawyer and takes on very high profile cases. And he even defended Bill Cosby.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so this is like a big name. You may wonder why Jim wasn't a suspect. I mean, usually the husband did it.
Right.
Well, he did have a pretty good alibi. He was caught on camera at a local convenience store at the very time of her murder. Now that he had a lawyer, he decided he should go ahead and meet up with Kim at a restaurant, and he basically told her, like, hey, my attorney is really good, and he is telling me that I'm advised not to talk to anybody about anything revolving, you know, around this case. And then he also tells Kim, you need to realize that this thing will probably never get solved.
That's, and, like, real reassuring. Thanks.
Right, like,
that's what I want to hear.
Thanks, Pops. Well, she told him, I'm actually never gonna stop trying.
Damn straight.
And she walked her ass out the door and never spoke to him again.
Yeah!
So, on the one-year anniversary of April's murder, the community got together for a candlelight vigil. It probably comes as no surprise that Jim didn't show up. He actually planned to celebrate in a different way.
To celebrate?
Well, he was getting ready to auction off all of April's belongings.
Oh, come on.
Yes. And he didn't give anything to Kim. And, I mean, she asked for, like, super simple things. Kim wanted her mother's family heirlooms and her Disney coffee mugs.
Oh. That's it. That's so innocent.
Like, the most reasonable request ever in this situation. And he's like, I'm actually going to give you nothing.
And really, and yeah, it's just, it shouldn't matter what she's asking for.
No,
I mean,
she should get everything.
She should get whatever the fuck she wants.
Yeah. I mean, how much money are you making on these little Disney coffee mugs? Seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
That you can't afford to give them to her. And he's a doctor.
That's ridiculous.
15 months after the murder, Jim got remarried.
Well, that didn't take long.
No, and he, of course, claims that they met after the murder and that he just wanted to move on with his life.
That was moving on pretty fast.
Right. Guess he's not that upset. He also decided it was time to collect on April's life insurance policy.
Of course that's what he thought.
I know, that's your favorite. Well, this actually tipped Kim over the edge. She got a lawyer and filed a wrongful death suit against her stepfather to prevent him from being able to get the $600,000 life insurance policy. Whoa. Yeah, that's a pretty big policy for her. Now, this was like super genius on her part, because Kim was basically a hound dog and was determined to get this solved. The lawsuit gave lawyers the opportunity to question Jim under oath about his wife's death, which hadn't happened. 5 years after the murder, a former judge became the new prosecutor in town. He urged his staff to tell him which unsolved cases seemed the most solvable and where should they focus their attention first. Unanimously, the team said the murder... What?
The Myrtle.
The Myrtle? The Myrtles.
The Myrtle Turtle.
Myrtle Turtle.
Turtle Myrtle.
Oh my gosh. This is not funny. They unanimously said the murder of April Kaufman. The new prosecutor says there was a lack of effort in the case, but he was ready to prosecute. He contacted Kim and her team and said they wanted to take a second look. They had several boxes of evidence, and that included a 4.5 hour long video deposition from Jim Kaufman due to the wrongful death suit. This was the first time that he was grilled about the case. During the interview, he was asked if he ever served in any branch of the military, and his answer was no.
Wait, what?
That's why I was like, nah, girl, don't give him any credit. He admitted that he told Kim and other people about these stories, but it was all a lie. When the doctor was asked who may have killed his wife, he said, it may have been the police.
What?
Yeah.
How did we even get there?
Yeah, okay. Then he says, or maybe one of the veterans, or what? The Pagans motorcycle gang.
Now, he's just got a list going on.
He does. The Pagans are categorized as an outlaw motorcycle club, and they're known to fight over their territory with Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club. In the deposition, Jim talked about running into the house and seeing his wife's body, and he says, quote, I ran upstairs. I looked inside and, unfortunately, saw April lying there, and she wasn't moving. I ran downstairs out to the lawn and was hysterical and started vomiting. Now, like, can we just talk about that for a second? Could you imagine seeing, like, somebody you're supposed to care about who's dead and you're like, unfortunately, I saw them dead.
And when you said that, I actually was thinking that.
Isn't that weird?
It really, really is.
Like, it's so unfortunate.
Like, I throw unfortunately into conversations all the time,
yeah,
and it's super casual. Like, I don't use it like that.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm like, unfortunately, this person died.
Right.
I'm going to be a lot more emotional than that.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, so I think we're on the same page with that. It's weird. Well, this case took a super strange turn. It turns out that Jim was actually being investigated in another case for insurance fraud. Investigators got a warrant to search his clinic, and they wanted to look at his records. Instead of letting them in, he pulled a gun on the police and refused to let anyone in. And I watched the footage. It's super bizarro.
Okay.
There was a 45-minute standoff, and he kept threatening to kill himself. So it seems like Jim, at the time, believed that the police were there in connection to April's murder, and he was acting really guilty about it. And kept yelling things like, I'm not going to jail for this. The police finally got the doctor to surrender, but it blew up the murder investigation. They found $100,000 in cash and several weapons during their search. He received weapons charges, and they were able to put him behind bars while they investigated. A former member from the Pagans Motorcycle Club had a really interesting story to tell. He said the doctor was writing fraudulent opioid prescriptions for the Pagans. The gang was getting all sorts of painkillers prescribed to them, and then they would turn around and sell it.
Nice.
April found out about this pill mill, and she was like, dude, if you don't give me a divorce, I'm going to expose this. Jim knew that he had to get rid of April. He allegedly propositioned several people to murder his wife, and it took a year before someone was like, yeah. He said one of the Pagans, Francis Mulholland, was paid $20,000 to murder April, and this person actually died a year later of an opioid overdose from the pills prescribed by Jim.
Oh my God.
So.
Oh no, karma's a bitch.
It all comes around. This illegal drug enterprise actually continued for another 5 years after April's murder.
Oof.
Jim was put in maximum security and he hung himself with a laundry cord and took his life.
Took the easy way out, didn't he?
And he wrote a very long 6-page note. Okay, like a 6-page suicide note. And in it, he claimed that he didn't have anything to do with the murder, and it was April who introduced him to the motorcycle gang. Then he wrote that the Pagans got aggressive with him and forced him to write the prescriptions. The Pagan ringleader, Freddie Ajello, was believed to have conspired with Jim to kill April, and he was found guilty. Some people believe that April knew what was going to happen to her. If you listen to some of the last recordings of her on her radio show, it's kind of eerie.
What?
There's like some hidden things in there that just seem like maybe she knew things were coming to an end.
For real?
Yeah. April had been in the process of trying to leave Jim and was trying to get everything in order. He made it clear to her that she would not be getting half of everything because this was his empire.
Gross.
He had also made many death threats to April in the past, but she would always tell people he didn't have the guts to do it.
Well, apparently that's not the case.
Well, I mean, he didn't do it himself.
That's true. So he didn't make somebody else right. Do it.
Yeah. Now, in case you were wondering, Jim did end up selling everything of April's. And Kimberly's husband and son paid for a bench to be dedicated to April, and they often gather at the bench and share memories together. Two longtime friends of April's could not stand by and just let this be the end. Lee Darby and Peggy O'Boyle raised money, and they bought back the items for Kim.
That is amazing.
Isn't that the best?
I love that.
Okay, this is gonna shatter your heart.
Okay.
When they gave her the treasures, there was a note inside the first item that Kim touched. And it says, "To Kimberly, from Mom. Whenever you look at this, know you are always loved. You're so special. Best wishes for the rest of your life." Yeah.
That was meant to come back to her.
I agree. Yes.
I love that. That's so sweet.
I know. Oh, I'm so glad she got her stuff back.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you finally give me a freaking solved one?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I was hoping you were going to say something because... Yes. I searched for it.
Yes! I needed a solved case so badly.
Yeah.
But I do get real salty, like, when people are thrown in jail and then they just, like, kill themselves. I get so mad because I'm just like, you deserve to rot in there, dude.
And do not face anything. Yep. And don't have to ever talk about it, take responsibility, nothing.
Yep. I hate that.
Everything goes with him. It's ridiculous.
It's, I seriously, like, yeah. And no, I hate that shit.
You know how I feel about people lying about those purple hearts.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm just saying. Like,
oh man.
Hannah and I have literally encountered this before with people on a couple occasions. Well. Yeah. And it doesn't work.
No.
I don't like it. I'm not down with it.
No, it
like, veterans deserve respect.
Absolutely.
Don't say that you have medals and things that you do not.
Don't even say you were part of it if you weren't.
Exactly. I don't like it.
No.
So, yeah, that's why I was like, I don't know if I should just, like, drop the bombshell on you right now, because I don't want you to be like, oh, that's so good.
Okay, but that would have been a really cool thing.
It would have been amazing.
Had it actually happened.
If it was a true story, that would have been absolutely
incredible.
Stellar.
But,
like, heroic.
I'm glad you did tell me that, because then I wasn't, like, building up to that, just to be completely, like, let down.
Yeah. All right, so make sure to like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and give us a 5-star review if you love us. Tell your friends, tell your cats. Bye.